Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me.
Oh, the beautiful morning, opera singer extraordinaire,
and fine gentleman about town, allegedly. John Wayne, that's right, here I am, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me. I am, of course, here in Wayne Manor, nestled in the East Wing, in the Library of Evil, where all the action happens, all the evil action. I definitely am here with some nice piping hot coffee, a nice Topo Chico, and a very piping full pipe of Grandpappy's good green medicine. You know what I'm talking about. We're all ready to go. It's Sunday morning. I got up nice and early today. I feel good. I've got all my spell candles lit, of course. You can't see because this is an audio, but I've got my black spell candles and my black skull spell candle and my incense, and everything is just right and dark and just how I like it in here. And I welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a pretty good week since I spoke last. I know last week I was, you know, it was crazy bachelor party weekend of insanity and, you know, and whatever. And I talked about that and how that was. But this week, you know, I just I kind of took it easy a little bit, worked, you know, had to work the day job for, you know, only, well, 3 days, but I worked a lot of hours in those 3 days and came in early and stuff like that. So, you know, not a bad week for the old John Wayne here, you know what I'm saying? Day job wise. I did get a lot of writing done. I got, I'm on, my work in progress right now, my WIP, that's a STRI term. That's also a STRI term for industry, STRI. So, yeah, my work in progress at the moment, my manuscript, if you will, it's really, I love it, but it's dragging me through this weird, hard time right now. Like, I know where I'm going. I know exactly where it's going. But getting there, like, this last act, I guess, if you will, is like, there's a lot of horrible things happening to the character and things that he's, you know, this obstacles against him to get to this place where he's going to have a lot of, you know, other horrible things are happening. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's hard to like, as I'm plugging through that, I know what I want to do and I see it, but it's almost, writing it is almost as hard as the character having to go through it, if that makes sense. And I don't know if that's a normal thing that other writers have at times or experience at times, but man, I was, you know, running, and then they're like, you know, in this race, and they're like, all right, you're almost done, man. And I'm like, hell yeah, now you just gotta hit this slip and slide, bro, all the way to the end. And I'm like, slip and slide, I love slip and slides. And then they're like, here you go, and I jump off the hill down to the slip and slide, but I don't realize that it's covered in broken glass the whole way down. And yeah, it's got some baby oil on it, because, you know, that's fun, but it's definitely like I'm slip and sliding chest down on broken glass to get to the end of this. And I only say that because that's kind of what I feel like the character is going through. Like, he is definitely going through some stuff, and I don't know if it's a weird mental tie, but I'm really enjoying writing it. That's what I'll say for sure. I even posted about it on my Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I don't ever post about writing stuff like that. Like, oh, hashtag am writing. Yeah, you're supposed to be writing, motherfucker. You're a writer, right? I don't need you to hashtag what I assume you are doing. If you do that kind of stuff, that's fine. I mean, it's just not for me. I don't want to put out there. I don't like to put out there like, oh, today I wrote all these words, or, you know. I mean, I talk about it on the podcast, but I just feel like, I want, if I'm going to post something, I want it to be concrete information or entertainment in some way, not just letting you know that, or, you know, my letting the world know that I'm writing, you know, my thing that I'm supposed to be writing. But I did post that I was enjoying writing this a lot. Like, I was really digging it, and I still am. Just plugging away in the end. I can't wait to actually get done with this and then do the revisions and such on it and start sending it out, because I really like it. But I'll keep you posted on it anyway. I did finish reading Full Brutal by Christopher Triana this week. And I'll tell you this. Chris is my buddy. We became friends at Scares That Care. He released this book on Grindhouse Press. which, you know, my last two books came out on. I worked the Grindhouse table with Carrie and Andy this year and last year. And Chris was there this year, so we met and we hit it off. He's a very cool dude. We had a lot of fun. He's excellent at working the table. We worked so well together at the table. It was awesome. But let me tell you, I'm not saying any of this because he's my buddy now or because I, you know, this is going to be, he might hear this or it's going to be like whatever public. That fucking book, dude, it drug me in and pulled me down and went through the, I went through it. I took the ride. When we were at the con and he, you know, when you're selling your books, you have to come up with like your pitch, you know, or some kind of line. Like I've talked about that before where, you know, I'm like, you know, you have to condense your pitch or figure out what you're doing, with, you know, how you're selling your book, how you're, you know, putting it out there. Sometimes you can only say like a sentence or two to try to get somebody. He was saying, you know, his catchphrase for that, I know, if you hear the cat, I'm so sorry. I don't know why that cat won't shut the hell up. Shut up, cat. I'm trying to talk about Chris's book. Fuck you. Anyway, he was saying like to people like, yeah, it's like a cross between American Psycho and Heathers. And I was like, sounds pretty cool concept. And when I read it, it's a lot like, that's pretty much on the nose, man. But I'll tell you what, Kim White, the main character in this book, she gives Patrick Bateman a run for his money as far as that kind of stuff goes. It's intense. It's very well written. The characters are awesome. The main character pulls you in. You go on her fucking journey of just becoming a serial killer. Actually, not. She doesn't become that. She just kind of realizes that she's a sociopathic person who likes to kill and eat people. It's very matter of fact for her. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, she's very unaffected by it. It's just like, oh yes, this is what I am supposed to do. So I highly recommend picking up Full Brutal by Christopher Triana, Christopher with a K. You get it at the Grindhouse Press website, grindhousepress.com, and you can get yourself an autographed copy. Of course, it is on Amazon and Kindle and all that kind of stuff. Just however you get it, I if you're into, you know, some hardcore gore and violence with a really solid good story behind it, this is the book for you. So I read that and I was really into it. So I talked about this last week, but I've been reading this comic because I've gotten into all these like comics on my Kindle through this Comixology app that Nick P got me into. So that's kind of got me, you know, I've always read comics, but not with any kind of regularity or, you know, dedication to any kind of title. I would just read like, oh, this looks cool, you know, whatever. But I've been reading a lot of comics lately now, and especially every horror comic I can find. I'm really interested in horror comics now and old horror comics. I just want to see how it's kind of changed and how under the different publishers it kind of changes based on the rules that they're going on or at the time the rules that they have to follow. So I've been really into that, but I did find this indie comic called Vamp that's about you know, vampires, guess, you know, believe it or not. And the premise is the vampires are basically run Las Vegas, and you're kind of seeing the story told through the narrator is their cleaner, if you will, who handles situations and kind of like cleans shit up and, you know, all that kind of stuff for them. But he's also some kind of mystical character. I mean, you don't really know what he is yet or who he is. But I did, you know, I reached out to the writer of the book and just said I really liked it. And I was looking forward to issue 3, and he got back to me, and now like we're, you know, we talk kind of a little bit, and he ordered some of my book, a book of mine, and I just wanted to let you know that issue 3 is out. There was only 1 and 2 that I could find, but today I checked, issue 3 of Vamp is out. It is on Mythos Comics, Mythos, and I picked up issue 3 today. I can't wait for that. So if you like a cool indie vampire story with really cool art and a kind of a neat twist to it, I think, check out Vamp. I'm reading that, and I really like it. So So I've done that. I've done a lot of reading and writing this week. I did join a new gym. I think I told you that last week. So I've been going there, and it's okay. It's pretty cool. It's definitely small. It's very small. Even when I went in and joined and signed up, I was like, "This is a pretty small space." But as I've been there now a few times, I keep realizing how small it is. It's like, man, it just is fucking small. You are like right on top of people. I used to like to, do my like whatever I'm doing that day, like legs or back and chest, shoulders, whatever. I would kind of do those. I had set, the set exercises I wanted to do, but I would do them in the order of based on who was furthest away, like from the machine I wanted to use, just so I felt like I was having space. No such thing as this as that at this place, man. It's like you're on top of each other, which is what it is. So different clientele, definitely a lot of rich white people at this gym. I was telling Katie, my fiance, soon to be my wife, that she was asking me how it was, and I was like, well, definitely a different demographic than my old gym. My old gym, I said, when I was mad about it closing, because it was such like a, I know this, we throw this word around all the time, but it was very diverse. But it was a neighborhood, dirty ass local gym. Not dirty ass, like it was unkempt. It was just like rough, It was like average Joe's, and everybody, there was a mix of so many people, old, young, all different demographics. And it was cool. And I told her, I was like, well, a lot of rich white people at this gym. There's definitely not ever going to be a time when I'll be working out when a large black man named Mingo will come up to me and say, "Hey, man, you look like one of them 'Where's the Weed at?' outer space white boys." And yeah, it definitely is not going to happen there. But shouts out to Mingo. He was my good bud at the gym. And he always told me if I ever got famous, he was gonna be my bodyguard. And if you'll be my bodyguard, I will be your Mingo pal. So I actually do run into him from time to time in the neighborhood, like at the grocery store or the bank. He's a good guy. He does always tell me that, I am gonna make it because God has a plan for me, and he's gonna, then he's gonna be my bodyguard. I just think he wants God to make him a bodyguard, so that's fine. He can believe that. But hey, Mingo, if I do need a bodyguard, you are it, my friend. So yeah, so I've been doing that, and that's it. Not too much, Got back in the swing of things, of practicing with John Wayne Is Dead. We had a couple weeks off after the tour just because of some other traveling going on and things like that. And here we are. I mean, we're back in action. Things are going good. I am confirmed and tabled, is paid for and locked and loaded for the Jekyll and Hyde comic and horror convention on Jekyll Island, Georgia, which I thought when it said Jekyll Island, Georgia, that was just like, oh, it's what they're calling the fucking hotel, where the place is. But no, it's actually an island, like Jekyll Island, I guess. So I guess you fooled me. So I'll be there in December, and yeah, that's confirmed too. And then I'm tonight, I'm staying up. I don't know if I need to do this, but I'm staying up definitely till midnight, so that right at 12:01 I can buy and pay for my table for Scares That Care, because I want to be make sure I get the downstairs good table. This year it's going to be me and Christopher Triana rocking a table together, possibly one other person to be named later. We'll see. I will be there with the Grindhouse crew again, Carrie and AKA CV Hunt and Andy Anderson Prunty, but they will be in the celebrity room doing their celeb thing, and we will be in the other room holding it down for the real peeps, and it's gonna be great. So that's what I'm doing tonight. And yeah, so I was thinking, I also wanted to throw this out. I don't know, I just wrote this down. It's like, I don't know if this is a possibility or even makes any sense or is anything, but I was like, sponsors. I've been doing this podcast every week for over a year, and I just want to throw out there, if there's any local businesses, small businesses, you don't have to be local to Houston, and you would like to, maybe interested in a sponsoring the podcast, or even sponsoring one episode or so, a couple of episodes, I want to see what that's up. I can I could contact like all these ones that you hear on the bigger podcasts, I guess, like all your stamps.com and your Blue Apron and your fucking, ZipRecruiter, all that shit. Like, I can go to those places and request a sponsorship, and they will sponsor you. You know, it's not super hard to get that, to get a sponsorship from them, because they'll just go ahead and do it. But then they monitor, like, if you're actually selling something through your, through the code they give you, and then you, you have so many weeks basically to prove yourself, and they drop you. But I don't really want to do that. I would rather advertise for like either a local business or small independent businesses in, you know, in the country with people I know, wherever. I'd rather do that than one of these big ones for now, because that's what I like. So if anybody's interested in sponsoring an episode or two, you can go to the johnwayneisdead.com website and go to the contact page or the contact link and email me, or you can email me at johnwayneisdead13@gmail.com if you're interested, and I can definitely go over all the numbers and all that kind of stuff, and we'll figure something out. But I just want to put that out there. Maybe yes, maybe no, who knows? But, you know, we'll see. So, moving right along, we're going to go into our tarot reading of the week. I did a nice little sip of coffee here from my throat. So, as you know, or you may not know, I do a 3-card tarot reading every episode on myself before I start recording the show. And it's just a thought exercise for me to look at things that are churning around in my mind or things that are going around on in my life in a different light based on what the cards represent. I enjoy it. I think it's interesting thought experiment at the very least. So that's what I do. So, and I just do a three card reading, and I always just, as I'm shuffling the cards, I kind of think about what is on my mind. I just try to think about what I'm thinking about and write it down. And, you know, this week, today I was thinking about, where's my patience gone? Where is my patience? I feel like being patient was kind of almost like a defining quality of me. And I definitely haven't lost all of my patience. It's not like I have zero patience now, but I've talked about this a little bit before. I definitely have less or zero patience for certain things now in my life. And I guess I'm grappling with how good that is. I think it's probably on a case-to-case basis, probably, but maybe not. I don't know. It might be something I need to exercise across the board of what I'm, of all, always. I wrote down, where's my patience? Get back in balance. Get back in balance. It's a constant thing, staying balanced. But I definitely, like I said, I feel listless. I'm at a real lull in travel and activity, and I'm so active all the time that it's hard for me to sit still. It's hard for me to relax. I know that, you know, my wedding is coming up in 2 weeks, and that's what the focus is now. That's why I'm home, and I'm happy to, you know, I'm very happy about it, excited. And that part of me is ready, but there's just that other part of me that's like, just, I don't know, that's just like, is yelling in the back of my head, like, all right, man, let's get this done and get back out there and start fucking riding for the Gipper and selling them books. That's where the balance, I need to be balanced. I know that when I'm here, I need to be here. I need to be present. I need to be in that moment and focused on those things. It's just a balance thing. I really am out of balance right now. And I just, maybe some just meditation or thinking or just thought calibration, I think, is what I need. I need to avoid resistance in all forms. Now, what I've talked about resistance before, what I mean by that is I got it from the book, The War of Art, and it's right here by, what's your name, buddy? Stephen Pressfield. The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. Sorry. And he references what resistance is basically anything that is keeping you from doing what you're setting out to do. Like in a creative sense, if if I'm sitting down to write and like, this is my writing time, I'm going to sit down and write. Resistance can come like in the form of something as simple as I sit down and like, oh, you know what? I totally am supposed to take these books off the shelf that I'm going to donate. Let me just do that right now while I'm thinking about it. And then, you know, and then I'll sit back down and maybe I'll write for a little bit and I'll be like, oh, you know what? I was supposed to email so-and-so, or, oh, you know what? The dogs are barking. What the hell? Let me go see what that's all about. And, oh, you know, I forgot that I had to go to do this at the store. I better go do it now than later. Those are all forms of resistance, or just sitting there and telling yourself you can't do it or you don't feel like it. You know, those are resistance things, resistance as well. That's resistance. But also it's what is resistance that we don't think about are things that, you know, those are obvious distractions that I put out there, like general things that you could be like, oh yeah, I guess I could see. But like other resistance comes in the form of going out to the bar and when you're supposed to be writing, hanging out with your friend, like getting that text when you, I'll sit down and write sometimes and I'll get a text from a friend like 5 minutes in that's like, hey man, what's up? Can I come by? You want to hang out? Whatever. And you don't want to blow your friends off all the time. Or I don't want to blow my friends off very often. Sometimes I do. I actively say like, I can't right now, or I will be available after this time. But fuck man, sometimes I'll just give in. I'll be like, yeah man, come on over. Let's hang. That's a form of resistance. That's a good thing to hang out with my friends and, you know, have connection and stuff like that. But it is resistance against what I'm trying to do as far as, you know, you're supposed to be writing right now. You know, this is great, but, you know, so that's kind of what I'm like, man, some of this like surreptitious resistance is sneaking in on me. Before I know it, I'm like, oh shit, man, I need to be better about that. So I wrote that down too. So anyway, what is all this? Oh, okay. So let's get into the reading now. I've been jabbing along too long. So the first card I got today was the Fool. So the Fool the Fool represents new beginnings, an unlimited potential. In the card, the picture of the Fool, he's got a white rose, and that's his like innocence and purity, and he's got a white dog, and that's like, you know, determination or something. But in the back, there's mountains. These mountains represent challenges in the future that are, he knows are there. You know, he can see them clearly, he knows they're coming, but he's not even thinking about those right now. Challenges are not a focus. The focus should be on taking the first step on this new journey, getting started. Don't get caught up in, you know, the mountains when you aren't going to get there for 15 more miles. You know, if that makes sense. When you start something, just start it. Don't look at it as like, well, if I do this, then that means that this is going to happen, and I'll have to do that, and then I'll have to pull this person. That's what that means. I thought that's very, I wrote that, I think that's important, not to think about these challenges necessarily before you start something, if you're wanting to really start something. You don't have to know where you're going, but it's time to take the step. Follow your heart and have faith in where the universe is taking you. So that's been like a theme in a lot of these readings, especially like last week, week before, a lot of trusting your gut, follow your, you know, trust where the universe is taking you type thing. And, you know, and that is very important. It's something that I can be pretty just like, fuck it, spontaneous at times, and gut reaction, which is, it's good or bad. And they're just, there needs to be a temperance to it that'll come actually later in this reading, that when we get there. But trusting your gut is something definitely to take stock in. See, have an open mind and leave behind fear, anxiety, or worry that something won't happen. It's about new experiences, personal growth, and development. So like, that's what I just said about like the mountains, you know, don't worry about, well, this is talking about kind of like the stuff that you would be starting with before you're even looking ahead, fear, anxiety, just in general, and then the worry that something won't happen or worried something bad will happen. Those are those mountains. And I wrote just a note to myself, I need to get back to this mindset of the Fool when I had nothing to lose and stop overthinking things. You know, it's inevitable, and I think it's healthy and right to think differently when you're climbing the level, as I guess, of your career, whatever it may be. You know, it's definitely worth thinking about things before you move forward in a different way than you did before you were at that level. But I don't think overthinking it is necessarily good, and I definitely don't think that I'm at any kind of level where I need to start super overthinking anything I do. I just need to do it. Be smart, but have that kind of reckless abandon back. The time is now. Don't do it. Do it, and don't wait for things to be perfect or lined out. The fool doesn't wait, he just does. So that's like, you know, don't... That's the spontaneous piece. Don't sit there and be like, I'm going to do this. But first, let me make sure I plan it all out and make sure I have all the necessary time and adjustments and all of my supply. No, just fucking do it. Stop thinking about it. Do it. Because if you think about it, that's a form of resistance. You're never going to do it because you're going to be thinking about all the things that you have to do or that you want to get ready before you do it. Just do it. Nike. Not sorry. This is a time of great potential and opportunity. Be creative and spontaneous right now. Relax and enjoy the energy that surrounds you and tap into it to your fullest potential. And that's just, again, just stating, like, this is a time to just not think and do. Just start. Be aware of the mountains. Be aware of the challenges. They are going to be challenges. But don't think about them till you get to them. How about that? I always say this, like, you know, to people, well, we'll jump off that bridge when we get to it, you know. I think I got that from my dad, but it's just, that's how it is. Just think about that bridge when you jump off of it. You'll figure it out then. Don't think about it now when you're beginning. Second card, Knight of Wands. So this represents the pursuit of your idea. Commitment and energy are used to ensure this idea is put into action. So this knight, the knight is like, he's charging, man. He's just all about like doing. Like, I've got the idea, I'm doing it. I am not stopping. I am not considering. I'm going forward. So it's kind of like an interesting card to get right after the Fool. He has no fear. He charges forward and makes things happen. Again, I wrote a note, like, need to get back to this. I feel like just in that same mindset of the Fool, like, have no fear. Move forward, make things happen, because I'm going to make them happen. And it's not, I haven't lost that entirely, but I just feel like it's kind of dulled or diminished in some way. And I don't know if it's just my mood or my attitude right now, but I need to get back to it. Your confidence will rapidly increase. You will tackle any challenges in the way, and you're ready to help those who lack your drive and desperately need it. Now, as I've said before, I'm all about like talking about suggestions, or I am full of useless advice that's just works for me, and I'm more than happy to talk to people about it. But what I have learned is not give advice unless you're asked for advice. And even then, be very careful how you give it, because there's going to be a very small amount of people, I feel, that are completely open to what you have to say and will consider it and think about it and be like, yes, and, you know, maybe use what works for them or what they find valid. There's other people that'll ask you for your advice that when you start giving it, completely tune out and then become defensive because it's not what they wanted to hear. And I've just experienced that a few times. So that's why I'm like, tread lightly when you're trying to give advice, even to your like-minded peers. But, you know, the knight does it, man. He's there. Act first. Okay, so this is kind of where a little bit of the drawback is. He's an act first, think later kind of person. Impatient and impulsive. Tends to rush in without consideration for consequences. I definitely embody some of that at times more than not. And even, it's often doing stupid stuff, but that kind of turns out to be fun usually, or results in me getting kicked out of the bar. I mean, it's just things that happen. Sets out with no plan of attack, which may negatively impact the long-term success of him. And he almost forgets to plan ahead and keep sight of reality. And I just wrote a note there, it just says, me. I will do that. Now, I know it kind of contradicts what we said with the Fool, where the Fool's like, you know, don't think about these challenges, just do it, just go and start. that's the getting started part. I think this is more of like when you're in it, and now the challenges are there, and how you're going to deal with that. And this is with rush, like rush in without consideration. You know, like I said, we'll jump off that bridge when we get to it. He just goes, and if the bridge is there, hopefully it's there. If not, the horse jumps or whatever. I don't know. That's what I get from there. Or you fall flat on your face. There's no thought. There's no forethought, which is great. This is a great way to be. But I mean, there are just consequences that can happen, you know, with this kind of attitude. You know, it can't always be great all the time. But keep a sight of reality, I wrote. I mean, because I don't know, man. I perceive reality as so different for everybody. So that's kind of a perception thing, I think. He can come across aggressive and overly ambitious, highly insistent, even if criticized or challenged. I'll admit, of course, I do that sometimes. You know, I've gotten so much better at receiving feedback and receiving criticism and taking it into mind and taking it constructively and not getting on the defense about it and listening, especially if I respect and admire the person giving me this feedback. You know, even if I don't, it's valid from them, so you have to take it like that. But I don't like to be challenged sometimes, you know, or criticized, I guess, in my life at times. If, you know, I feel like I'm being criticized, man, I can really just, I really can just turn. Like, it's, I don't like it. But I need to work on that part of being challenged, I guess. Enthusiasm and energy are important. Temper it with a well-rounded, realistic view. There's nothing wrong with ambition if channeled the right way. And I, you know, that's kind of a nice cap to this, like, knight card or whatever. You know, all of these things that he represents, they're important. But if you need to temper, you know, mix it with a well-rounded, realistic view. I wrote just a note to myself on here. Just because you're, quote, unquote, in it doesn't mean everyone is or understands that wavelength. So be mindful of that. And that's just for me. I guess I don't realize sometimes how heavy I get into something or what's going on when I'm involved in something with other people. I almost forget to communicate what's going on in my mind because I'm so like, okay, we're doing this and this and this. And I need to be more mindful that not everybody is on that wavelength or understands it, whether they're working with me or, you know, independent of me and I'm going through something like that. I just need to be more mindful of how, you know, I adjust to communicate better in both of those situations, whether I'm working with somebody or I am working on something and it's affecting people around me. Last card. This is a good reading. All these three cards really go together, I think. Strength is my last card I got. This represents, of course, strength, determination, and power, but inner strength, not the outer physical strength, inner strength, power of the human spirit and confidence. You have stamina and persistence with underlying patience and inner calm, focused on what you need to do, and you do it in a way that demonstrates composure and maturity. As far as this goes, I do definitely have the stamina and persistence part. I think that falls under the discipline that I have. I you know, if anything I can say positive about myself is that I am disciplined. I do have a lot of drive to get done what I say I'm going to do. You know, the underlying patience and inner calm part, I need to work on. I definitely am focused on what I need to do. I think I do these things I demonstrate composure and maturity as they come out. It's just varying degrees of that, I guess, and also as it applies, if that makes sense. You do not rule by force to control others. Through inner strength, you lead. Through subtle influence and persuasion, you're able to control a situation subtly without force. And no one realizes you're calling the shots. That kind of sounds like dastardly, like you're almost mind controlling, or like, what do you call that? reverse psychologying people or something to lead them like through some mind trick. But I don't think it's supposed to be like that. It's just, you know, when you don't have to go into a situation and be like, this is what we're doing, and bah, you do that and you do that and you do that. You can definitely go into a situation and get the same result that you wanted while communicating it effectively and giving the whys behind what you think and just kind of talking to people, having that open communication. And, you know, then everybody kind of knows and is on point and understands what you're trying to say. That's what I think that means. It doesn't mean like thought control or anything like that. You have the confidence to overcome. And if you're feeling stressed or burnt out, you know you have what it takes to get through it. Well, yeah, I definitely have been burned out a lot. You know, not a lot, but I mean a lot of times in the past. Just it happens. You go through burnout, you know, at work, aspects of your life, you know, with... You know, I don't think I've been burned out on writing or anything like that, but maybe I have. I don't know, and I just won't admit it. But I definitely know I've been through burnout periods and pulled myself out of them. It's all how you know, it's all how you take it or how you react to it, I think. When I used to get bummed out and super burned out at Starbucks, you know, I think like a lot of people's first impulse would be like, fuck this, I'm just taking a week off, or I'm taking a bunch of days off, I need to get out of the store for a little bit. And that's fine, that is a valid thing to do, and you may need that. I found the best way to combat my being burned out was not to take time off, but actually go into the store every day and try to focus and attack the things that were burning me out about the job, and just let myself kind of reset and start again. And then, you know, then I could take some time off. But the last thing I wanted to do was take time off and leave a situation that I was feeling burned out from without any kind of resolution, just to walk back, you know, oh, I may have a great 5 days off or something, but then I just walk right back into the same situation because I've put it out of my mind. I haven't, you know, I've forced myself not to deal with it, type of thing. So, yeah. So that's that. And that is my reading for this week. I thought that was a good one. I got a lot out of that. I hope you did too, or at least found it interesting, and thank you for indulging me. Anyway, moving right along with the show, we're going to get to our story now. And this story, I just thought, you know, I tell you these stories sometimes, something will remind me of something that I just totally forgot about. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's it. I can't believe I forgot about that. So yesterday, I'm hanging out with my man Connor Clifton of Ned and Connor's, Connor and Ned's Effin' Rager. I talked about that. Shouts out. Second Tuesday of every month at PJ's in Houston. Go to their show. But I'm hanging out with Connor, and we've been friends for a while. It's not, you know, I'm not just sucking their dick for their show. And I was like, hey man, you want to, you know, watch these Blu-rays with me? You know, I had some Blu-rays that I got from Vinegar Syndrome. Shouts out to the Vinegar Syndrome guys that I haven't watched yet. And I had Ice Cream Man was one of them, and that it's features Clint Howard, which is Ron Howard's brother. And you may be like, who the fuck is Clint Howard? Well, you know who he is when you see him. You'll be like, that guy? He's like the ugly motherfucker that at least has a bit part or a walk-on in every single thing Ron Howard has directed. Including, I haven't seen the new Solo movie, but apparently he's in there too, because Ron Howard took over directing that. So, but he had, you know, he had his own acting career as well, or does, I guess, where he's in other stuff. So he's in this movie called Ice Cream Man. That's about this demented ice cream man. It's actually, the movie's kind of weird because it falls apart towards the end. You can kind of tell where they either ran out of money or time or tried to rewrite the script or something. It kind of, to me, turns into a train wreck, but I enjoyed it very much. However, there's one scene, a part where the kids, they're taking these kids, they're trying to solve the mystery or whatever they're trying to do, take photographs with a camera, and the girl that took them takes it to the 1 hour photo development stand to get them developed, and it then has like a interaction with the photo booth guy who's like, you know, really dumb and you know, trying to be difficult. But that reminded me of like, man, that's right. We used to have to go develop your pictures. And I remember doing that, you know, playing in bands all this time and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into it. But that sparked a story in me. And I was like, developing pictures? And I was like, hell yeah. So to this week's story it does deal with that. And we'll call it, dude, you gotta help me out on this. So, as I was saying, back in the long ago, you used to take pictures on a camera with film in it. And you would take that film to a place to have it developed into pictures, which you would hold in your hand in a physical form. Very primitive, I know. But that's just how it used to be. And, you know, these photo development places, they were usually in all the drugstores, you know, CVS, Walgreens, all that kind of shit. Or in the mall somewhere. And, you know, the one-hour photo, that's always been around since I was born, but I guess that was a big thing when that happened. And then everyone was doing it. 1 hour. You get your photos developed in 1 hour, motherfucker. So, I mean, back then, it was the equivalent of the instantaneous, I guess, selfie on that you take and post and everyone can see it. But that's like that, whereas this was 1 hour and you're just looking at it yourself. So, you know, I've played in bands for 20 years now. Doesn't mean I'm any good, but I've been doing it. And back then, you know, especially when you first, at least I've seen this with some other bands, but I will only speak for myself. At least when I first started, it was very, there was a very big importance around having photographs or recordings or you know, video recordings or audio recordings of live shows. You know, it was kind of like I don't know. There's definitely the factor of like, I want to see how cool I look on stage type of thing, and you get some good pictures with lights and stuff like that. But it's also, I always looked at it as, this is the only way I have to critique what I do live, because I'm doing it live and I'm in it. So you owe it to yourself to go back and especially if you're in a band, you know, maybe record your set. It's easy to record your set now on your phone. Just push record and hit it up there, or, you know, or look at video or pictures, whatever. Maybe not still pictures these days, but I would look at it to critique and be like, okay, does that look cool? Does that work? What do we look like on stage? Are we moving enough? Is this even entertaining? How can we improve this? I was always kind of looking at it with a critical eye. And I won't lie, of course I was looking at it with a, oh man, that's so cool, we're on stage. But needless to say, pictures were taken at every single gig I played, pretty much. If I had to, I guess, put a percentage, I would say not maybe 98% of the gigs that I was playing back then when I first started, you know, maybe we'll say 17 years ago or 15 years ago, I'm not sure. Early 2000s for sure. Yeah, that's when this was. Like maybe, yeah, 2000, 2001, 2002, something like that. I mean, I'm like 98% of the shows, I'm making somebody take pictures. You know, I'm bringing the camera, I'm getting the film, I'm putting in the camera, and I'm like, hey, please take pictures of us. Now, let me tell you this. If you do this today to your friends, stop. Just stop, because it's not cool, and I realized it, and I stopped doing it. It's one thing if your significant other, your partner, is going to come and take pictures for you. Like, that's one thing, and that's what I would do typically. You know, my girlfriend at the time, who later became my wife and then became my ex-wife, she would typically be the one that would be tapped to take the pictures, and she already knew that and was prepared for it. Plus, she's seen the show 1,000 times, so it's not like she's really necessarily gonna miss out on anything while she's taking pictures. But when you ask like your buddy to do it, or somebody's, your friend's girlfriend to do it, it's like, hard. It's gonna be hard for them to say no right there in the moment. And it's like they don't even get to enjoy the show because they're worried about taking pictures of you and taking pictures of your band. Anyway, so I would get usually like my girlfriend at the time to take pictures, and you know, and it was cool. It was and I was a nerd and kept them in a fucking binder with like a fucking, what do you call, a photo album thing. And I would even date like the gigs, like this day, and then I'd put like the flyer for the gig and then pictures. But I started making like collages where I'd cut the pictures out so I could fit like a bunch of them, and I'd keep the ones that were intact that were like really cool intact. But I was so stupid, dorky stuff. I don't know if I even have those. I think I might have, those two albums that I had full of those were lost in the Harvey shed explosion of 2017. So but what a time. So anyway, my band at the time was playing a gig at Fitzgerald's. Now, it was a big deal. Fitzgerald's has been around for a lot of years, 30, almost 40 years, I want to say, at least 35. I know they had the 35-year thing, but in the last few years, things have gone downhill, we'll just say. And now Fitzgerald's has been sold officially and will be a parking lot, which is sad, but almost apropos. Like, almost like, yeah, fuck it. You know, don't try. It needs to just be a parking lot. If it can't be what it was, make it a fucking parking lot. But it was. It definitely was one of the places in Houston that's very rich and storied in music performances and bands coming through. I mean, like I said, for 30 plus years. And that was like the crown jewel of places to play for a long time back, especially back then when I was playing. And to get a gig there was hard, first of all, but also when you did, you were like, at least us and me, it was like, okay, this is really important. We're at Fitzgerald's. And then to make it even more of a like a weird dichotomy, I guess, there's a upstairs and downstairs at Fitzgerald's. Getting downstairs shows, that was pretty easy, and we'd done that before. But the upstairs, that's where the major bands played, that's where the touring bands played, all the popular local bands. So if you got a slot upstairs, it was like the garden. Like you're like, I cannot fucking believe it. This is awesome. So I'm first time upstairs, very, very stoked. And you know, we get there and we've loaded in, and it's sound check. Everything is like you actually do a sound check before the show. It's not just a line check. You have a backstage to sit in or a green room or whatever. And you know, I'm just kind of like taking it all in, like cool. And what, you know, of course, you know, when you have something like that, or a major accomplishment like that, or a bigger show, you get more of your friends will come out just because it is something. So I know we did have a good amount of friends there, and of course my girlfriend at the time and one of her good friends, who I'd say her name, but I can't even remember it, but anyway, they were close friends at the time, and she was there, and they were always hanging out and doing stuff and being kooky. So we're up, we get up there, we're playing, you know, we're playing like maybe first or second, not super like crazy or anything. And I see, you know, my girlfriend and her friend, all these people, and she's in the audience, she's getting up, she's taking pictures. Well, so at one point I'm playing and singing, and I see, like, you know, my girlfriend has disappeared off to the side, and her friend has come like right to the front of the stage. And this is like a raised stage. Like, it's a pro. Like, you're like 4 or 5 feet off the ground. No, not 5 feet. Maybe 4 feet off the ground. So that the front of the stage, you know, if you step up against it, you know, you could be up to your chest or whatever. You step back. See, so this girl gets right in front of me as I'm doing this thing. And she's looking. She gets my attention so that I see, you know, she waits till I've made eye contact with her. And then she pulls up her shirt and shows her tits. And as she does, and I'm like, what the fuck? And as she does that, there's a bright flash from behind me. And I'm like, what the? And I kind of turn and I see, and there's my girlfriend was behind me. they had planned this thing where she was like, I'll get up on stage behind him and take a picture of you flashing your tits to him. And that was, I guess, their plan. And at first I was like, whoa, these are nice tits. Second of all, I mean, no offense to anybody, I was just admiring the female form, but I was like, just kind of like, what the fuck is going on here? That's not what I expected. But that's what they wanted to do. That was they were trying to be funny and, you know, like, haha, he'll never expect a Spanish Inquisition of titties. But, and I didn't. So we played and we had a good show and we had fun and, you know, everyone was, you know, partying, and I was like, man, I can't believe it, you know, you showed your tit, and, you know, and my girlfriend's like, yeah, and I took a picture of it, and I was like, did you really get a picture of it? She's like, oh, yeah, I got a picture of it, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, well, we'll see, I guess. Meanwhile, I'm like, I can't wait to get these fucking pictures developed. We got to get these fucking pictures developed right now, you know, that's what's on my mind, because, of course, I'm, you know, boobs. So the next day, I get up and I'm doing my stuff and I take the film and drop it off at the local 1 hour photo at the drugstore that was by our, wherever we lived at the time. And basically I was like, here you go, man. And it was a, you know, young guy working. I was like, I will be back in 1 hour. So, I come back in exactly 59 minutes and 59 seconds and step up and I'm like, you know, hey man, what's up? He's like, oh, here you go, got you covered. And you know, a lot of times they'll sit there and have you, like, if you want to look through your pictures there to make sure none of them are fucked up, or they can redo them if something's messed up. And he's kind of like, okay, here you go, man, and paid. And I was just kind of like, I looked through the first few and I was like, all right, thanks a lot, dude, I'll see you. And I go sit in my car, and I start going through the pictures for real, and I'm, you know, waiting for that titty pic to come up. Where it, you know, did it happen? Was that real? You know, and I'm going through great shots of us playing, but no picture of this flashing incident. So I'm like, man, did it just not come out? So then they gave you the negatives back too when you would get pictures developed, and I start going through the negatives, and there, right there on the negative, that there is the picture, clear as day, of, like, you know, maybe you see like the side of me, like, blurred, but she had zoomed in and got like a perfect picture of her friend holding her shirt up with kind of like, you could see me standing in front. But anyway, clear as day, I could see it on this negative, and I'm like, here it is, why didn't they develop it? So I went right back inside. And I think the guy already knew. Like, as soon as I walked back, I was like, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second down here? He's like, yeah, what's up, man? He's kind of pensive. And I'm like, all right, dude, look, you got to help me out on this. This picture right here, and I'm going to pull up the negative strip, and I'm like, this one is not developed. I need you to develop that for me. And he was like, oh, man, you know, we have this policy about nudity and developing sex things. I was like, it's not. I said, it's just a picture from a concert. I mean, I really want this picture developed. It's my girlfriend's friend. They thought it was really funny. So I definitely want to make sure that it's developed so that I can show them that it's pretty funny. Boobs. And he was like, ah, man, I don't know. I just, we're not really, I was like, come on, man. It's just a picture from a concert. Just think about it like that. And let it go through and don't even worry about it. Look the other way. And I was like, man, and I will, and I don't even know, like, I throw this out there. Man, I will take the heat on this for you. If you get in trouble, I will go to bat. Like, as if I would have any power. I don't work for the fucking Walgreens or Photo Man. How could I take the heat for this guy if I get him to do something against the policy? But he's like, all right. Hey, just do me a favor. Come back in about 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, you got it. Thanks, man. So I come back 30 minutes later, and he, like, sees me and just kind of, like, walks over. Not really a whole lot of, you know, just contact or anything. Just like a, hey, slips like a envelope across the counter to me. Kind of keeps walking on. I'm like, all right, thanks a lot, man. And I go out to the old car there and open it up. Boom, my man came through. He's developed them. He's developed doubles. I'm like, you are the, you know, that's what makes life worth living sometimes, just doing those things. And just getting those little, breaking those little rules, you know? So then I go home and I show my girlfriend, I'm like, haha, look at your friend's tits. And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, I guess they did cut, the guy developed it for you? Because I told her what happened, you know? I was like, yeah, I sure did. And then she's kind of like, wow, I can't believe you really went back and made him develop that. And I was like, yeah, why? Yeah, you took the picture. And she's like, yeah, I know. I just, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, well, I was thinking about putting it in a heart frame and then putting it on my computer desk in my little office area at the time. So anytime she comes over, I can like be like, hey, look, your boobs is just inspiring me every day. She's like, and then my girlfriend was like, oh, really? You really want to do that? And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I really do. But then my mouth stops and it's like, maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't. And she's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't. You know, I wouldn't. Maybe just keep that away. Don't put it on display. And, you know, I don't even. And then she's like, I don't even know why you even made that guy develop it if they wouldn't in the first place. And I'm like, why did you take it? You took the picture. If you didn't want me to have a picture of your friend's boobs, why'd you take it? You know? So, as these things do, at least back then how I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. And I put it away and, you know, just it went in the file with the pictures that didn't get cut up and put in the album or whatever. And I know I had it for a really long time. I don't know what ever happened to it. I kind of wish I did have it just to put it in a frame and like put it here in the Library of Evil just as a random, like, this is not only a picture of boobs, but it's the first boobs that were ever flashed to me on stage. And it is a time, now it's an art piece because all of the rich history that went into getting that picture developed and made, and the fact that pictures aren't even made like this anymore. You know, art, because art's subjective. No, I know, it'd just be a picture of tits, but it would be funny. And I don't have them, and I don't have any of those pictures anymore. Like I said, it's just all memory shots from now on, baby. Money shots and memory shots, that's all I got. But yeah, it's interesting when I look back at that, because like I said, in this Ice Cream Man movie we were watching, the kids, they stole like the older brother's camera to take these pictures that they needed of the Ice Cream Man. And then when they took the film, you know, they dropped it off at the 1 hour place, you know, it cuts back to the brother and his girlfriend, who they open the camera and like, where's my film? You guys, I can't believe, you know, he's yelling at his brother, you took it to get developed. They're like, oh no, we gotta get there. And they race to the 1 hour film place. And this made no sense. Like the machine that's developing the pictures and kind of like dropping them out as, you know, like a copy machine kind of pushes out like the copy and drops it. It's doing like, it's in the window of the business, so you, as you walk by, you can watch, oh, pictures are being developed. And like they run up and they look in the window, and there's like pictures of him having sex with his girlfriend that are being developed, and they're very explicit, like, you know, doggy style. Then they change position, and he's like, I'm gonna kill that brother of mine. And I'm like, man, they have no problem developing, this is penetration, I just had boobs. But maybe it's a regional thing, but regardless, definitely was a snapshot in time. I hate myself too. All right, there you go. Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore, but I used to have to get my film developed at the 1 hour place. Yeah, that was a thing, and I guess some places had some really staunch rules about what they would develop and not develop. I'm glad we're past all that and we can just freely photograph our genitalia and in forms of flaccidity to erectness. Is flaccidity a word? I don't know. And just freely send them with a flick of a button, a flick of a thumb. Even you're not even pushing a button. You're swiping a screen, and your picture is off to that person. It's made, it's done, no hour waiting. I'm glad we've come this far. I really am, and I feel triumphant in this. So thank you guys for being here and listening to the podcast. I super appreciate it. Especially if you're new, welcome. Thank you. Please come back. Please tell your friends. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. And go to johnwayneisdead.com to check out all of the things that I do, all the dates that I'll be performing, either with John Wayne is Dead, the band, or with the conventions that I'll be up at coming up, and the appearances and all that kind of stuff is on there. Also, please, you can support by going to the johnwayneisdead.com page, like I said, and going to the shop on there, and you can buy any of my books are available there, and they will be personalized and signed to you with some extra goodies thrown in. So you can pick up Porn Star Retirement Plan, Ant Poster, John Wayne Lied to You, Charge Land, Death Packs and Left Hand Paths, and my newest book, Scummer, all on there, as well as the new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record, the new John Wayne is Dead t-shirts, and the new, I have a John Wayne Awesome Dude for Life author shirt on there. All kinds of good stuff. If you're more of an Amazon person, all of my books are on there as well, and they're all in Kindle form. If you're a Kindle guy, that's or gal or person, it all helps, and I really appreciate it. Even just listening to the podcast helps me tremendously, and I thank you for your time and for spending it in this way. Again, you follow me. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at John Wayne is Dead, and on my Facebook, just my name, John Wayne Communale, to see what I got going on and coming up. Again, anybody interested in sponsoring an episode or two or three, email me, johnwayneisdead13@gmail.com. Let's talk. Let's talk, man. But yes, thank you so much. Don't forget, pick up a copy of Full Brutal by Christopher Triana. Read that. Check out Vamp the comic. And thanks, guys.
Have a good week.